We come to the end of this series of sermons on discipleship. And this morning we're thinking together about God's generosity. We begin by considering Paul writing to the church in Corinth. He's dealing with a specific practical issue relating to the response of the Macedonian churches to their willingness to support the Christians in Judea. Been going through a time of famine, and the Macedonian church give. And Paul says to the Corinthian church, yes, you want to give. How are you going to respond? In a similar way, as a community, we need to consider the responsibilities we have with regard to our finances. If you're a visitor here this morning, then just please excuse us. Maybe listen and see how this relates to your situation. Maybe switch off for a few minutes. I'll tell you when we've moved on. We all know that as individuals, we have a responsibility for paying our household bills and ensuring we use the money given to us by God wisely. Same is true for us as a church. A church, and if you see yourself as a member, that means you, we need to pay the bills for heating and lighting. We need to pay our employees. We need to give to our mission partners. We have made commitments to the diocese. They provide us with support, resourcing, and training, and as part of the parish support fund, we are called to be generous in our giving. We need resources for our children and young people's work, for services, for the work in our local community. One of the things we are known as is a church of hospitality and welcome, whether that's at the winter night shelter or with the coffee at the end of this service. All of this requires money. Now, as a church, we rightly budget carefully. Martin, our treasurer, forms a budget based on what we have said we will commit. It's careful accounting, ensuring money is spent appropriately and wisely. Hopefully, in looking at a couple of examples, I can demonstrate the care taken with the money we give. Recently, we've heard from Abby and Amy about some of the activities of the children and young people. So we heard about Holiday Club. This was a free event for 50 children for 3 days. We asked for donations, and this covered our costs. The young people had a sleepover and went sailing. The parents paid for this. The light party was a free event, food, sparklers, and the necessary take-home bag. In total, there were 40 children and adults. This activity cost us £60. One of the responsibilities of our PCC is to agree and scrutinise the budget. If you want to know more about the details of our finances, then speak to someone on the PCC who's here this morning. All of us are aware of the increases that are taking place with the cost of even the most basic items. Church is not immune to those increases. At times, the unexpected happens. The cooker seems to be playing up and then stops completely. It happened the other week at church. So we had to replace it in order to be able to continue to carry out our responsibility as hosts. In an ancient building like this, it's vital to keep on top of the maintenance. Because those who have gone before us have done this, then as far as we're aware at this time, there are no major repair bills likely. But we have to be ready just in case. However, there are other expenses. The projectors are at a point where they need to be replaced. They have become part of the way in which we as a church operate. The ability to read the words and to see visual images is how we engage with our faith. The money this church needs depends on its members. For us to be able to engage in the work of being disciples, but also of making disciples. It is important as individuals we take time before God to consider our giving. For some, that may mean you are able to increase your giving. For others, your circumstances are such this is not possible, or you may even need to decrease. Perhaps you're unable to give financially at all. Maybe you're able to give in other ways. Maybe you're not a regular giver, but would like to consider this. The forms available at the back of church. Speak to myself or Andrew as the vice chair of the PCC, and we can point you in the right direction. As somebody famously said, we are in this together. Collectively, we need to ensure we give as God asks us to give. But why do we need to do this at all? Well, let's move on to part two. If you've fallen asleep, because you're a visitor only, I hope that's the only reason you've fallen asleep, let's wake up. So we begin with a question. Do you remember last week we heard the parable of the unmerciful servant? This week, Lorraine read to us the parable of the prodigal son. We'll come to you, John, in a minute. It's often known by the title, the parable of the prodigal son. What happens to our understanding if we take our focus away from the servant last week and the son this week and instead look at the king and, as John has said, the father? Does this change our view? Remember, the king lent a vast sum to his servant, asks for it back. When he's unable to repay, he cancels the debt and sets him free. This week, the father willingly gives to the son his inheritance. Son took what belonged to the father and leaves. The father, not only is he deserted by his son, but also half of all he has gone. Strikes me that the father is bereft at his loss, as if his reason for living is taken from him. And so he stands and watches and waits for the son to return. When eventually the son comes to his senses, the father is watching and immediately moves into action. There's a sense of generosity in the father's display of affection, in the running out to greet his son, in throwing his arms around him and kissing him. In Jesus' time, those listening would have been aware that no father would have acted in such a way. Dignity needed to be upheld, and so to behave in this way was unheard of. Does this not remind us God's way is often very different from ours? In human terms, the younger son did not deserve to be brought back as a son. He did not deserve to receive such a welcome from the father, or the best robe, or the ring, or the party. The generosity of the father means he is unable or unwilling to do anything other than take him back as his son. God longs for us to be welcomed and known as sons and daughters. Nothing less than children of God. This is the status God so generously gives to us. Some, maybe the younger son's story has echoes of your journey to God, or of a friend or a relative. God looks for us, runs to meet us, throws the cloak around us, puts a ring on our finger, sandals on our feet, and throws a party. To each one of us who's in relationship with God, who worships God and loves God, we are children of God. As children, we know and experience the generosity of God. For God is a God who gives and gives and gives. In the story of creation in Genesis, we read, "Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life." God gives life. The world, with all its natural resources and the skills humanity needs to be creative, is a gift from God. God gives the ability to sustain life. God gives his presence. Jesus came to earth. Through the death and resurrection of Jesus, we're able to be in relationship with God. This leads to eternal life. The generosity of God. How do we respond? Well, as disciples, we are invited to respond. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich." When Paul writes those words, he's not actually talking about money. He's describing the actions of Jesus. The grace we have received through Jesus leads us to the opportunity to respond with all that we are and all that we have. Let's take a moment in the silence, to consider our response to the generosity of God. Lord our God, we give you thanks for the generosity that you have shown to each one of us in giving us life, in giving us eternal life through Jesus. Lord, we pray that you will stir up in us the response that comes from you, to be a people who walk your ways, being your disciples, and who make disciples of those who we come into contact with, of those who are involved in the other activities of us as a church. And may it be for your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.